Ron Van Dam knows exactly why you enjoy his show.
It makes no sense.
And that says something a little weird about you. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
That's absolutely true.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Yes, indeed. Hey, welcome to the program. It is indeed The Ron Van Dam Show, and I am the one in the middle. Thank you so much for sitting down and listening to the program. For that, you shall receive absolutely nothing. Here's an idea. Go somewhere, buy yourself something, and say it was from me. How about that? It's a thought that counts. Hey, let's all plan a field trip to the dollar store. Won't cost you much, probably just a dollar, plus tax. Told you before, my favorite gag in the world is to walk into a dollar store. The people that work there have no idea what's going on. They really don't. They're good people. It's a job, but seriously. So what I do is I walk up to the employees and I hold up anything in the store in front of them and I say, "Excuse me. How much is this?" And they'll say, "It's a dollar." It's a dollar. And then like 2 minutes later, I'll walk up to another employee in the store and go, excuse me, how much is this? There's no price sticker on it. It's a dollar. If you're a prostitute, don't solicit in front of a dollar store. It's only a dollar. That's a deal. Hey, you get what you pay for. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. That's me. Thank you very much. Who are you, by the way? This is very one-sided. You know who I am by name. There's probably pictures of me all over the internet of highways. You? I have no idea who the hell you are. I don't. And you know what? It kind of goes with my mantra, which is, who cares? That's pretty much it. Yeah, I told you when that phrase came out, whatever, people hate that phrase. It's become who I am. I love it. I wish I had the whatever attitude. I really wish I do. I would. I should. Wrong verbs being used here, quite obviously. Now, I really wish I really wish like I felt like whatever. Yeah, Aaron, we're gonna tow your car because it's parked in front of a fire hydrant. You can pick it up at the tow yard. It's going to cost you $1,000 to release your car. Whatever. I would love to be able to say that and to really feel it, you know.
You know, we've been dating now for 3 years. You haven't asked me to marry you. You haven't put a ring on it. Our relationship is over.
Okay, whatever.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
But I don't have that attitude. I don't have the whatever attitude, but I crave it. That's what I crave. That's on my bucket list. Have a whatever attitude. And when you say whatever, people hate that. It's such a lackadaisical, in-your-face kind of insult. You know, they're upset about something, they're trying to communicate something, and then you respond by saying, whatever. Oh, what a put-off that is. Oh, I love it. Everything in the dollar store is a dollar?
That's right.
Whatever. A dollar store. Dollar store, dollar tree, dollar donut, dollar, the dollar was the dollar tree, the dollar bush, the dollar door, the dollar show, everything is just a dollar. Even when you go to a strip club, it's a dollar. Just throw a dollar on the stage. It's another dollar store. That's all it is. Strip clubs are nothing but dollar stores. All right, fine. Welcome to the strip clubs. Are there ever going to be strip clubs ever again? What is going to be the one remaining pandemic problem? Strip clubs. Although, from what I understand, their rules are kind of like fit, you know. Oddly enough, the one place that kind of won't open or shouldn't is actually has a policy that really should be universal right now, which is you can look but don't touch. I think that's like the new normal. You're going to look, don't touch, stay away, you can look, but don't touch. Yeah, that's, I think, I don't know, whatever. You know what? Whatever. How are you feeling, by the way? As I've said so many times, I'm getting sick of saying it. This is the only talk show, that's not the end of the sentence, this is the only talk show that really cares about how you're feeling. Nobody on any talk show talks to the person listening and says to them, how are you doing? Actually, how are you? Tell me. Nobody does that. You know why? Because it's a stupid thing to do. I'm making believe that you can hear me. Anyway, welcome to the show. How are you? I have a great guest coming up toward the end of the program. Of course, that's my opinion, but it probably will be the case. You know, I heard a phrase that really bothers me. It's a phrase that just takes the responsibility of anything that happens off your shoulders like a little child. Children do that. I didn't do it. He did it. She did it. I didn't do it. This phrase really bothers me. It kind of enters almost into a religious connotation, but not quite. It's still social enough that I can talk about it. Shouldn't be talking about religion at all on one of these talk shows because it's going to piss somebody off. So I tend not to do that, although I tend to do that. But this is a social thing. And the phrase is, everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. You know what? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Not everything happens for a reason. Most things don't happen for a reason. Unless you've done something really stupid or you don't change your underwear, then that's a reason for things to happen. But basically, it's an excuse line. Like, I am not in control of anything. I give up. Whatever happens to me, that's for a reason. What are you talking about? Let's break it on down. Let's break this down. Let's break it down. Let's unpack it, as they say. I love that phrase. When you try to understand something, well, let's unpack this. Like this is baggage. People carry around baggage. All right, you got some problems. You got a lot of baggage. Let's unpack this. Okay, here we go. All right, let's unpack this. On the top, you should have your socks and your underwear. Let's unpack that first. Good. All right. Now you've got the shirts that are neatly folded somewhat on top. All right, let's put those on hangers and put them back in the closet. Fine. Same with the pants. You've got those neatly folded at the knee as a crease there. All right, let's put that on a hanger as well and get those back in the closet. Let's unpack this suitcase, all right? Oh, look, the toothpaste exploded all over. Oh, no. Oh, look. Oh, this is ruined. These are ruined. You got to throw these out. Damn toothpaste exploded. I hate when that happens. All right, let's unpack that. All right. I think I made my point. All right, let's unpack this phrase. Everything happens for a reason. Very few things happen for a reason because, and kids get out of the room because I'm going to curse for just a second. I could use a different word, but I'm not going to. shit happens, okay? I know I shouldn't be saying that, but it's true. It does happen. You can't avoid it. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time or the right place at the right time. I don't know what it is, but it didn't happen for a reason. Not everything that happens is, I invited this problem. This is because of this. This is because, no, things just happen and you happen to be there at the time that they're happening. Do you ever get into an auto accident? And I hope it's just a fender bender. It's cute, you know, when we have these accidents that can actually render us paralyzed, we turn them into, well, it wasn't that bad. It was a fender bender. It was a small accident. No, we're going to make a rhyme out of this and make it cute. Let's make this cute. It was a fender bender. It was a turn me into hash crash. Oh, my God, please, come on. Cut it out. Let's unpack that. Let's unpack this. Not everything happens for a reason. It doesn't. It's like there's some deity in the clouds handing out little lessons for you, and at various times will send you a lesson that will make your life very, very difficult or something horrible, and your response is, well, that happened for a reason. It didn't happen for any reason. Here's what you can do, which is socially acceptable as far as I'm concerned and psychologically acceptable, is if something goes wrong, you can say, all right, I can learn from that. I mean, I didn't invite it. I didn't make it happen. But if I did, this is how I can avoid it in the future. And that's what you call your reason for this thing. No, you've made a reason for this thing that happened. You've turned it into a reason, which is fine. I mean, life is an education. If you're going to go to school and sit in the classroom, you might as well go through the little speed bumps of life and learn from them. That's probably more consequential. But this everything happens for a reason. Like, I have no control over everything or anything. I've been dealt this. Poor me. I've been dealt this problem. Everything happens for a reason. Well, I guess, yes. You know, if you parked in front of a fire hydrant and you got a ticket, I guess there was a reason for that. I don't think you have to turn it into a phrase. Man. Yeah, I invited that. I had that coming. Didn't have anything coming. Gosh, cut it out. Just cut it out. Unpack it. Will you unpack it, please? I have a great guest coming up a little bit later in the show. I hope that you accept my apologies. I did an interview with... I shouldn't say this. I did an interview with a young lady named Farnoosh. She has her own finance show on CNBC. Man, I shouldn't be talking about this. She's a lovely woman. I did an interview with her a few days ago. I haven't aired it because it just annoyed me a little bit. She's with CNBC. She has a show. She gives out financial advice. She comes on this show a few days ago, and we set up an interview, and we're talking and. You know, we're talking a little bit of finances, and then she breaks into this commercial for a credit card, and I don't know if it's Bank of America or what it was, but all of a sudden it turned into a commercial for a credit card, and I just all of a sudden my heart sank. It's like, oh, come on, you know, you have a finance show on a network. Don't you make enough money? You probably make more than we all do. Do you have to sit here and hawk a credit card and turn this into a commercial? Come on, man. Not well done, Farnoosh. Not well done. Yeah, you know, I don't know. She disappointed me. And all day I walked around and I couldn't get it out of my head. You know, it was like walking the dog, and all of a sudden I just stopped. The dog took a poop down the side of the road, and I bent down to with a little bag to pick up the poop, and I said to myself as I was bending down, geez, Farnoosh, seriously? Come on. Hawking a credit card? Come on. Disguised as a financial interview? God, Farnoosh! Yeah, that happens. Yeah. I was in a supermarket, you know, a couple of days ago, and I was picking up some chicken. We all pick up chicken, I think, you know. Every once in a while, you pick up a chicken. You don't want to have those fatty meats, you know, so you pick up a chicken. And I was thumbing through the chicken, and I said, well, that's too large there. Too many leftovers. I don't want that. Here's a nice piece of chicken. And I leaned over to pick up the little package of chicken, check the expiration date. You should always check the expiration date. You don't want to buy something that's already been expired. And as I'm leaning over to pick up the package of chicken, I said to myself, Farnoosh, seriously, man, you know, you had such a nice interview going. We're talking finances and you turn into a credit card commercial. God, I can't get it out of my head. I was having sex with my significant other, and it's none of your business. And you know, in the middle of the excitement and the unbridled passion, I blurted out, "Farnoosh, damn it, Farnoosh! You had such a nice thing going, and then you screwed it up." Probably not the right time for that exclamation publicly, but that's how much Farnoosh bothered me. I don't know. Anyway, that interview will not be coming up later in the show. That ain't gonna happen. Okay, but first this.
Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show is like realizing that you put your underwear on backwards this morning. It's wrong, but it doesn't feel bad, and it's not like anyone's ever gonna find out, so just go with it. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Yesterday, I bought a new set of sheets at Target. Yeah, I know, huh? Crazy, isn't it? Who does that? And I'm looking at the sheets, and I find myself a nice set of sheets. You know, the bottom sheet, the top sheet, the two pillowcases. How can you go wrong? $50. All right, wait a minute now. $50 for sheets? What happened? What happened? Oh, Ron, these are fine Egyptian sheets. They're not Egyptian. They didn't come from Egypt. Some Egyptian wasn't sitting there darning the sheets all day. It's an Egyptian type of silk sheet, I suppose. I don't know what Egyptian silk sheets. And then you check the bottom of the package, 100% cotton. Well, I don't understand. You're just throwing in all different kinds of things now. But I couldn't find any nice sheets that were less than $50. They went as high as $75 for sheets. I don't know. I don't think that's right. Let's unpack that. So I buy the sheets for $50. God, I can't even. Farnoosh, man, seriously. So I unpack the. I'm doing more unpacking. I unpack the sheets from the packaging, and I'm very excited. I'm going to sleep on these beautiful new sheets. That night, couldn't wait. I'm very excited about this. There's the smaller things in life that excite me. And I'm opening it up, and I'm looking at the bottom sheet. That's the thing that has that elastic in the corners, you know, so it's a fitted sheet, goes like right over your mattress, you know, and is not supposed to slip out, but always does. And I could not figure out for the life of me which is the bottom and which is the top and which is the sides. I couldn't figure it out. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if I were entrepreneurial, which I'm not, and it wouldn't gain me any financial prowess, Farnoosh, but why on underpants, it's, you know, it's you got the label and you know that that goes in the back, you know, just over the ass crack. It's labeled, you know, the label isn't in the front, it's in the back. We all know that on underpants and panties and things. Why don't they just put a silk screen, a little label on that says sides? Why not? And then a little label at the top of the bottom or something, or at the bottom that says bottom. It would make it so easy to make your bed. Do you know how I struggle with that bottom sheet trying to figure out which is the sides and which is the top and which is the bottom? Label it. Label. Did anybody think of that? See, that's where there's a problem and we come up with an answer for the problem. That's an invention. That's worth doing. I've not run across, maybe the $75 sheets are labeled accordingly, but I don't think so. I don't think they are at all. Would it be so? It's the bottom sheet, man. It never shows. You can put as many labels on that sheet as you want. Come on. Help me out here. It would take care of one of my frustrations in life. That bottom sheet is a problem. Do you ever do your sheets laundry with some of your clothes like socks and underwear? Those bottom sheets, they collect that stuff. Yeah, the bottom sheets, you know, have the elastic, so they're capable of capturing other clothes and hiding them within the sheets themselves. Very cagey, very cagey. I did a show a couple of years ago. I think it was a couple of years ago. I've lost track of all time. How my socks, I lose socks. I put a pair of socks in the washing machine and I assume in the dryer. I don't know what I'm putting in the dryer. I just transfer everything over. I don't take an inventory. So I don't know where these socks go. I don't know. And as I said, so many years ago, you know, milk cartons, missing kids. All right, I get it. Although I haven't seen a missing kid on a milk carton in quite some time. So apparently we're not missing any kids. But they used to be on the sides of milk cartons. Are you old enough to remember that? No? Okay, fine. I know who my audience is now. But I thought, well, why don't you put the pictures of missing socks on the side of milk cartons and then help us all out? Or when you go into a post office and instead of the wanted posters on the wall, which also I don't see those anymore. I guess we've captured everybody we wanted to capture. Seinfeld does a very funny bit about that, where I don't think they do it anymore, but in the post offices they used to have the mug shots of these criminals, and if you see this criminal, please contact the FBI. It would say that right on the post office, because the post office is a federal building. And Seinfeld said, hey, you know, if you have pictures of these criminals and the mug shots, how did they get, why'd you let them go? You had them enough to take the picture. It's your fault. It's funnier when he said it. Let's do that with socks. I want pictures of my missing socks on the walls of federal buildings. I want someday to be to someone to ring my doorbell. Are you a Mr. Van Damme? Yes, I am. Can I help you?
Yeah, here.
What is it?
It's one of your socks. I don't know how it got mixed up with my laundry. I live five towns away. But I guess one of your socks was trying to escape from your house. Made it all the way down here. 20 miles away. Anyway, here's your sock back.
Thank you so much. Now I can unpack that. Here.
What's this?
$20.
For what?
The reward. For finding my missing sock.
I've missed it so much. The other sock has been crying for months. Where's my other sock?
Did you like that? That was very theatrical, huh? Yeah. Yeah, I've never taken any acting lessons. I've just observed other people crying, and I mimicked them. Yeah, that's the Van Damme method of theater. which artists really annoy me? Seriously, and those are the pantomime artists. I can't. And you know that you never watch a variety show or anything on television and see a pantomime artist on any show whatsoever, because they're not regarded as talented. That's just the only place you'll find pantomime artists are on street corners, or, well, that's pretty much it, street corners, entrances to subways, things like that. It's a lost art because it was never found. There isn't too much to it. The fact is, all you can really do is make believe you're pulling on a rope or trying to get out of a box. Beyond that, I think we've seen your act. That is the act. There's nothing else you can do. You can make believe you're walking upstairs unconvincingly. I don't find that entertaining. I've walked upstairs before. There's nothing really special about that. You making believe you're walking upstairs is not a thrill for me. I never found walking upstairs to be something that is theatrical in any sense of the word or amazing to watch. So pantomime artists, usually they put this makeup on their face, and it's usually white makeup, and I kind of thought that these days is rather distasteful and always has been. But I don't know why you're putting that on your face, perhaps to hide your identity. That would make sense. That seems like that's unpacked. Pantomime artists, I mean, don't ever tell anybody that that's what you do, because the reaction will be, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, nobody falls in love with a pantomime artist unless you're another pantomime artist, I suppose. The only thing I like about pantomime is that they're quiet and they don't say anything. And that is probably my social goal in life. That's not a bad deal. That's not a bad deal. Can you imagine being married to a pantomime artist who constantly is exercising their craft in order to hone it in? And you're constantly saying to the pantomime artist, what are you thinking right now? And they don't tell you? Oh, that's a bad marriage. That's a bad marriage right there. I wonder why pantomime artists can't come up with something new, you know? Instead of pulling on a rope or trying to walk upstairs or get out of a box, how about something like, trying to pull a metal ruler out of your butt? I mean, something that's a little more inventive. But no, they don't. They stick to the standards. And again, you don't go to a corporate event and our special guest is a pantomime artist. That wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. Let's unpack that, if we could, please. All right. I don't have time for a guest today. I rambled. I rambled too much, and I'm not able to do so. That is to have a guest. So, and Farnoosh is not going to make it here. So that isn't going to work. That's not going to happen. I thank you so much for your indulgence today. You have been wonderful. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show, and things probably will make a little bit more sense to both of us at that time. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, stay safe, and I wish you peace. Here we go. This is known as the closing music. It's a popular little tune. You can sing along. You all know the words. This signifies the end of this particular episode. In just a few seconds, probably about 20 seconds, you'll be encouraged to continue your life the way it was before this show began. Good luck with that.